Rochelle Carstens, president at Briarcliff University. In the past 3-4 months, it obviously impacted not only the teaching modalities that we were using. We moved from a primarily in-person classroom setting to an entirely remote online learning environment back in March. It also impacted and affected our residential community. We did actually have many of our students remain on campus for various reasons. We never did technically shut campus down or require everyone to go home. So we have always had some students on campus. The number has varied depending on the time of year and, you know, reasons that they need to leave, etc. It obviously has impacted workers. We moved to an entirely, or primarily, I guess, remote work environment in March as well, with the exception of our essential workers on campus. And then, of course, we're making plans moving forward to minimize and mitigate risk.
What's your plan for the fall?
So as you can imagine, the plan is a plan within a plan within a plan. But our plan is to reopen this fall with safety measures in place, along with health screenings, temperature checks, and things like that. We've been working with Siouxland Public Health, as well as some of our higher education organizations have issued guidelines and recommendations. And so we're really just analyzing and incorporating as much of that as makes sense and is applicable to our situation. I would say the most fluid piece of it right now is primarily athletics. We're still awaiting final guidance and recommendations from our national athletic organization, but we are planning to open in the fall with safety protocols in place.
Will you do anything virtually as far as teaching, or will you try to do everything in person?
Oh, no. We actually are utilizing what we're calling high flex, which is a hybrid flexible model. So we are doing some of our courses in person. We're doing some of our courses online. Some of them are a hybrid. And then for everything, we're maintaining flexibility so that if we need to move to an online environment like we did in the spring, we will be much more flexible and prepared than any of us were back in March.
Everything is just kind of uncharted, wasn't it?
Oh, uncharted, unprecedented. I was saying several times to my team, I felt like I was shoveling snow in the blizzard with a heated spork. Just, you know, every time you turn around, the new information and the information you relied on yesterday was no longer reliable. And just very challenging, very challenging.
What was your enrollment last fall? And do you have any projections on what you might expect for this upcoming school year?
I apologize. I do not have my enrollment numbers in front of me, but from a projection perspective, we are actually cautiously optimistic. The numbers are indicating that we will actually have a bigger incoming class than we did last fall. But again, there is always that possibility of summer melt. And so we are just adjusting our methodologies and our connections and working hard to continue to recruit. And we'll see what happens come fall. But we are actually cautiously optimistic right now. But who knows? I mean, things have been flipping in a matter of 24 hours in this country. So we'll see what happens between now and August.
Do you think a lot of families want to keep their students here, their children here, instead of sending them to a university setting in a bigger city where they might have to cut classes early and send everyone home anyway?
We're actually hearing the gamut, right? We have some local parents, yep, we want our student to stay here, commute, stay where it's relatively safe. We have other parents who are like, no, I want my child to go to college and stay there until they come home. You know, every situation is different. Some families and homes have immunocompromised family members. And so once they send a student off, they need that student to stay in that location. So it's just, we're hearing all of it.
I know we're also hearing about, I know at the University of Iowa, they're looking at trimming, like, I believe $25 million that they need to save because of the money that they didn't have coming in. What are you seeing at Briarcliff? Mm-hmm. What kind of economic impact are you guys hit with because of the pandemic?
you know, I think it's safe to say that everyone has been impacted by this pandemic economically and in so many other ways, right? We're still awaiting, because of the nature of the cycle of higher ed, we won't know the full impact until later in the fall, because it is so cyclical with a fall, you know, with a fall start date and then the spring. I mean, a lot of our budget for what happened last spring was already in place, right? So that really remains to be seen, what the full impact will be. But of course, we're preparing for all contingencies as much as we can.
Also, were you working, like you said, on that budget before this all hit to try to maybe streamline things and cut costs?
Well, we're always working on the budget, right? But we had to do a major pivot and shift once COVID hit. And so we actually have, much like our plans for fall opening, we have several tracks of our budget, again, depending on what ends up happening. I mean, there are some national estimates that are saying between 10 and 20% in reduction of enrollment because of COVID-19. We'll see what happens, but we're preparing for all of that. I did want to go back to your earlier question about parents and the decisions that they're making. We are also hearing, though, that they feel like Briarcliff is a good choice because we're relatively small. Our community also is pretty isolated up on the cliff, and so they feel like it's really a safer option. And of course, we're doing everything we can to incorporate those safety protocols for when students do return.